get uncomfortable. It's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Good morning. We are the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It is finally Friday. Sweet baby Jesus, thank you so much. It is the 8th of February, less than 1 week away from Valentine's Day. Not to scare you, that's just your friendly reminder that you better find a place quickly. Otherwise, make a fancy dinner at home or you're in the doghouse. Follow the Joe and Alex Show. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. It's at Joe and Alex Show. Everything we talk about ends up online at joeandalexshow.com. And the number to call in anytime is 833-JOE-ALEX. That is 833-563-2539. Sitting to my left. Ooh, she switched it up today. Reese's Snack Mix. What up, Alex?
Good morning. I had such an eventful afternoon yesterday because the Justin Bieber, Hailey Baldwin Vogue interview dropped. And I was so excited to read it that I had to pull over. I ended up getting chicken nuggets, sitting in the parking lot and eating while reading this article because I just was so excited for this. It has been years since Justin Bieber has done any type of interview or anything. And especially, obviously, it's their first interview since they've been married. So it was very good. Lots of bombshells. I'm very excited to discuss those with you coming up later this morning in the show In the Garbage. So if you're not going to be in the car that long, you can go back and listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or whatever. Just search for The Joe and Alex Show. But you will not want to miss that. How was your day, Porkchop?
It was pretty good. I finalized my taxes, sent them off. So we'll see what I get back. And then what else did I downloaded this app to get my health results back. And
oh, from the doctor.
Yeah, they're not in yet, but as soon as they're in, I will let you know.
That stinks. That usually takes like 48 hours or like 72 hours to get your results back. I'm like, hurry up!
I know, so sometime today. And also, a listener wrote me a DM on Instagram yesterday, and he was like, dude, if you try that Propecia or the Hims, he's like, let me know.
Oh, well, he wants to know because he has thinning hair?
Yes.
Dude, yeah. What's his name? Like
I'm not going to say his name.
His first name. Oh, my
God.
So rude.
No, it's not rude.
Yeah,
you guys are
shaming.
Anonymous. No, listen up, person, whoever you are. Shave your head. Get a razor.
Don't listen
buzz
to Joe.
It. Poor chap, please don't embarrass the show
you
by
are too
having
late.
That.
You waited
Why?
Too long.
No,
Joe.
Alex, that's not true. I tried it when I was 18. How early do you want me to try
so wait,
it?
When you're
going
six,
bald?
Okay? When you're
oh,
six,
okay.
You guys start doing
well,
anti-baldness.
My mom didn't listen.
No, well,
so.
I definitely have seen photos of you from high school, and you looked like you were thinning out like well into like 17.
Yeah, so
and
you
like
probably
16.
Had no chance, but maybe
so,
this guy,
right,
it'll
exactly.
work.
It doesn't work. That's fine, man. I'm trying to save you money and heartbreak because you're going to try
There's
it.
There's got to be something that works or at least stops
if
it,
there,
right?
If it worked, would there be bald guys anywhere? No. I'll tell you right now, if I could have hair, I'd have it. I'm glad I'm bald, like I embrace it. But if I could grow my hair out and like style it and cut it, oh, dude, I'd be at the barbershop all the time.
So how long to give me? How long to give me to I'm bald? What's the bet?
Ooh. Well, it's fading fast. I've only seen
Stop.
You for like 3 months.
I don't think it's that bad.
You know, it's going to be.
I mean, it's definitely thinning.
This job stresses you out. Mm. Your health is not the greatest.
No.
I give you another year or two, and then it's going to. I mean, it's not. You're
what?
Not. You're not going to be completely bald, but it's going to look so bad in 2 years.
Yeah, you're going to have like a circle, a bald circle in the back of your head in 2 years. Easily.
I mean, here's the thing. I think Joe is not looking his best simply because I think Joe looks the most handsome when he has a closer
yes.
trim. Beard.
That's true.
And I've said that from the moment I met him. I think Porkchop looked the best when he had his hair shaved, like just really, really short, and then he had earrings. I thought that was the best that you've ever looked.
I
like, at least from pictures and
I
stuff.
I can't look that good, though. I don't want sexual attention on the show. We're coworkers.
Oh, my God.
So I think both of you need to do a makeover. No. Yeah,
people love my beard.
Yeah, dude, that'd be cool for the show. Let's do like a bro makeover.
I'm not getting rid of my beard. I mean, if you want to put some product in it, that's cool.
He refuses to get rid of his beard. But yesterday, what were you doing? You were showing us a video of you on your honeymoon or something, where you had a shaved up beard. You said, "Do you guys think I look better in this video? I feel like I look really good in this video."
No, and I was like 75 pounds lighter. That's why I look. I'm like, oh, what motivation? This is after my
your
my
beard
honeymoon.
Was 65 pounds.
How about?
Maybe.
If you're listening and you own like a beauty shop, like come in and do us a makeover. Why not, Joe? Come on.
No.
If it's a professional that does it.
Joe refuses. He will not get... His beard is a security blanket
for him. I was just
going
to say.
He's like Samson.
It is. No,
if you cut his hair, he'll be weak.
It's not a security blanket. I've went my whole life without a beard.
Anyway.
It's a security blanket for you now.
We can go into deeper therapy later, but how was your day yesterday, Live the Web Girl?
It was really good. Actually, it was a pretty normal day, and then all of a sudden, I get a call from my boyfriend, Jewel Daddy, and he's like, hey, like, my boss, like, he's a real estate agent with, like, the Herd Real Estate team, and so, like, they just offer them tickets, like, whenever they have extras, and we got to sit in club seats at the Pacers game last night.
Ooh.
In Indianapolis. Yeah, it was so cool and so fun, and so they had, like, free food and free beer, free drinks. Yeah, it was so cool.
Jewel Daddy.
So much fun.
What about your buddy Joe?
Yeah, like I would have went.
Well, and all of his coworkers are so cool and so nice. And his boss is really pretty. She's like goals. So it was super fun.
Wasn't there, I thought I saw something on TV. Wasn't there like a bat that got loose in the arena?
Yeah, I don't understand. You were texting us like, you guys seeing the stuff about the bat? And I had no idea what you're talking about. I thought you meant a baseball bat.
I just assumed that you guys were like watching the game. I don't know why.
Never.
But
I might be. Nobody else on the show is going to watch sports.
Yeah, I don't have
TV. A bat flew down on the court and they had to stop the game, and it was so funny, and they were playing Batman in the background, like when they were following the
Batman. That's hilarious.
And everyone in the stadium, anytime it would fly by someone, they would like throw up their hat or like try to like catch it and everything, and then like there were players trying to like, if it threw by them, like trying to like kick it or like swat it, trying to get it. It was so funny. It was like all throughout the game.
I remember there was a bat one time like in the barn we were in, and it kept on coming at us, so I grabbed a chair and it came at me, and I was like, boom, I knocked that bat out.
Ooh. You hit the bat with a bat.
Those grossed me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super gross.
They're cool though. They're just your neighborhood friendly vampire, that's all. Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm a wait, is that a dolphin?
You sound like a dolphin.
No, that's bat noise. Echolocation. No,
it sounds like that.
That sounds like a dolphin.
No, that's
a
bat.
I get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Flipper. That is not a bat.
Yes, it is.
We'll put it on Instagram on our story at Joe and Alex Show. You can vote if that sounds like a bat or a dolphin.
Oh, that is. That face right there looks like it's a very happy dolphin.
The face is the best part.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Thanks, poor child. That's what I needed to kick off my morning.
Coming up next in the garbage, Ariana Grande explained her beef with the Grammys. This TV host did blackface, but no one seems to care about it. And this artist is putting their song on a snack.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Ariana Grande has explained why she pulled out of her Grammys performance. She said she's no longer going to be on stage or even attending the ceremony at Los Angeles' Staples Center on Sunday. Grammy producer said Ariana had declined to perform after multiple conversations because she felt it was too late for her to pull something together. But Ariana is now saying, I've kept my mouth shut, but now you're lying about me. I can pull together a performance overnight, and you know that. It was when my creativity and self-expression was stifled by you that I decided not to attend. I hope the show is exactly what you wanted to be and more. It had been reported that Ariana had dropped out after producers had refused to let her sing Seven Rings during the show. A compromise was allegedly offered of a two-part medley beginning with the single, but that it would be up to producers what the second song was. And Ariana Grande didn't like that. She offered three different songs. She said it's about collaboration, it's about feeling supported, it's about art and honesty, not politics, not doing favors or playing games. It's just a game, y'all. And I'm sorry, but that's not what music is to me.
I'm surprised they wouldn't let her go with the biggest song out there right now, which is Seven Rings.
Well, coming up in the next hour, there's even more drama. Other artists are now saying they're not performing either. So there's a whole bunch of backlash with the Grammys this year.
Ooh, I like drama.
A 2016 clip from The View has resurfaced where Joy Behar shows a picture of herself dressed as a beautiful African woman, and nobody cares.
You know, this picture.
Oh, Joy, is that you? Yes. Joy, that is you?
Yes.
Oh, Joy, are you black?
No, I know.
Are you my auntie, Joy?
No. What year is it? Circa what?
I was 29. It was a Halloween party. I went as a beautiful African woman.
Oh, yes. You ain't black.
But that's my hair. That is me.
Did you have tanning lotion on, Joy?
A little. I had makeup that was a little bit darker than my skin.
Did people not care as much back in the day? Like when that
it was 2016.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like then, but even farther back, obviously people did it. Like, is it more recently that it's such a big deal? Obviously, like we don't do that. But I'm saying, why do you think people are so upset about it now? Everybody's losing their jobs for it now. I'm not saying it's right, but do you think it's always been that big of a deal? Because wouldn't she lost her job back then? You know
what
I mean?
In the last couple of years, I think that started becoming a big deal. I am very curious as to what, if anything, I doubt anything will ever happen to Joy Behar. But I just find it interesting that on her show, she literally posts a picture of herself doing this. Like, actually admits that she actually did it, and then Megyn Kelly is fired for hypothetically asking what is wrong with doing it if it's for a costume and it's in good faith, like for Halloween, and she was fired. And Joy Behar has the show also, and isn't it? It's just like kind of wild. So everybody's kind of speculating, like, is she gonna lose her job or not? And so that's been reported on by like E! News and stuff right now. It's kind of one of the top stories.
So I don't think that it's more serious now. I think it's always been serious, but I think in the past probably 3 to 4 years, it's been super common for people who are a household name for other people to go back and
dig
look
up their
at
past.
All of their past, dig up all of their old tweets, all of their old photos. I think the digging is what has changed within the past four years.
Yeah, you're probably right. That wasn't necessarily something you could do way back in the day.
Woody Allen is suing Amazon for terminating his movie deal. Amazon signed the Oscar-winning filmmaker to a deal with minimum guaranteed payments totaling between $68 million and $73 million. But then Amazon pulled out of the deal after a 2016 column by Ronan Farrow in The Hollywood Reporter brought up, again, his daughter's allegations of sexual abuse. So Woody Allen is now suing the company for breach of contract, saying Amazon already knew about the 25-year-old baseless allegations before they went into the deal. So we'll have to keep you posted on what happens with that. And I love this. Wiz Khalifa has teamed up with his son Sebastian, who is, by the way, one of my favorite celebrity kids, to release a song on an Oreo cookie.
Huh?
Oreo will release a limited edition music box that will actually be able to play tunes straight from an Oreo cookie. The cookie apparently works just like a record. So you place an Oreo cookie on this music box, slide the record arm in place, and the song plays. That particular song is going to be a new track from Wiz Khalifa.
They say we're too grown for fun. We say playful's never done. Don't fight the feeling, just let it flow. Stack it up, rack it up, let it go. I got a secret the world should know. Let's stay playful Oreo.
What happens though if you take a bite of your Oreo? Like, is it like when you scratch a record, you're like...
Coming up in less than an hour, Cardi B got personal in her Harper Bazaar cover story. I'll tell you what she revealed.
It's time for the Friday Fun Fact.
You're going to learn today.
Let's take it back to your grandma and grandpa's time. During World War I, there was a cotton shortage. Kimberly Clark developed a thin, flat cotton substitute that the Army tried to use as a filter in their gas mask, because you never know if there's any kind of chemical warfare. So that was the original idea. Well, the war ended before the scientists could actually perfect the material for the gas mask, so the company redeveloped that material to be a smoother and softer item, which they then later sold as Kleenex facial tissue that we currently use today here.
Oh my gosh.
In the Joe and Alex Show studio.
That's Whoa. Crazy, because I'll use that as a gas mask whenever you rip one, Joe.
Funny, you're the one that's always tooting in studio. Okay, Liv. That right there is the Friday Fun Fact here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. All right, let's kick it off with Gucci. They've apologized for their new turtleneck that looks like, they say, blackface. Well, they don't. People are accusing them of that. It is a black turtleneck. That is the black part. And when you pull it up over your face, there's a hole for your mouth with a bright red lip around the hole. Gucci posted, "We are fully committed to increasing diversity through our organization and turning the incident into a powerful learning moment." Listen, I'm a white guy, so maybe I don't know. But I look at it, and it's like, okay, it's a sweater that covers your mouth. I don't see that as racist.
Do you
think
ski
it's
masks
offensive.
Are going to become racist soon?
They better not, because I have a bald head. I need a ski mask. And if you're going to rob a bank, what are you going to wear?
True.
I mean, we can't
well,
take away
pantyhose.
That. Oh, do you have any that fit? Can
you
I borrow
put
some?
Them over your head.
All right, let me borrow some of those. Veterinarians in Montana revived a cat nearly frozen to death after being found in a snowbank. Have you guys seen this photo? This looks like a fake one. The cat was unresponsive and her body temperature didn't register on the clinic's thermometer when her owners brought her in a week earlier. Staff warmed the cat up using towels, cage warmers, and they even had to use IV fluids after they picked the ice off the cat's coat. Like, it was surrounded by snowballs. It's like there's no way this thing was alive. It was just a frozen mass. But they started getting it to move around. They sent it to an emergency clinic to help raise her body temperature. The cat was actually sent home with its owners later that day, and they're now keeping the pet indoor. The cat's name, by the way, is Fluffy. But if you see the photo on the Need to Know news blog at joeandalexshow.com, It's surrounded like it's frozen, these clumps of balls and snows. I can't believe it's even alive.
So she just accidentally got out?
I guess the cat got out and somehow got stuck in like a snowbank.
Jeez.
Which cats can get out of anything, but not that one. Maybe I'm the only one here, but I know I suffer from this. Do you ever just throughout your day, you have like a brain fart?
All the time.
Okay. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm really not like WebMDing you this morning, but we could be suffering silent strokes. They're saying that could be a sign you suffered one in the past. Researchers say their so-called silent strokes occur in people suffering from cerebral small vessel disease, and they say a silent stroke can cause damage to the brain's white matter and can lead to attention issues and a greater likelihood of becoming easily distracted. I'm not even kidding, Alex. That sounds like you.
I know. I was going to say I must have had 800 strokes by now then.
Mini ones, yes. Let's see. What else they said here? Leading to the strokes, they say it's a greater likelihood of becoming easily distracted, but those who suffer from the silent strokes can still go about their days normally without any major threats to their executive functions or ability to organize and focus. I swear I have that more and more. I'm like, do I take that Ginkgo Kalanova stuff, like that old people pill? I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I'm glad to know I'm not the only one suffering from that. And wrapping up Joe's Need to Know News, this is absolutely insane. Why don't we retweet this, at Joe and Alex Show. If a baguette could move, how would it move? This might be the dumbest debate on the internet in a long time. This is like, what color are the shoes or the dress? An animator in England tweeted this out yesterday. If a baguette could walk, how would it move? And he animated four different options for you. Sliding like a worm on the ground.
No.
Galloping by using its ends as feet, like it kind of comes together. Maybe like imagine a horse galloping.
No.
Okay.
No.
Flipping end over end.
No.
Or inching along, like kind of curling up, but still not breaking the bread, like a caterpillar.
Neither. I see it like a flopping fish, kind of like this.
Oh, wow. That is a great visual for the radio right now.
He's doing like the wave, basically, with his arm, but you're I don't understand how that's different from a caterpillar.
You're doing like a flopping fish.
You're doing like the warm dance people would do if they were dancing on the floor, yeah. Like where they warm it out that way.
I definitely think it would be like a caterpillar.
I think it's the caterpillar.
I know, and I think it's cute. Like, that makes me think baguettes are cute now.
The leading vote, the guy put this up there on his thing that we're going to retweet, has over 250,000 votes, and the leader right now is flipping end over end.
I hated that one. I don't know why people are picking that. Chrissy Teigen also said that. I didn't
really
like that. Yeah. I like the worm one.
I would say it's either a worm or maybe a caterpillar, but then your baguette's going to be busted. Nobody wants a busted baguette. No, thank you. That right there is Joe's Need to Know News. You can check it all out online at joeandalexshow.com.
You got a friend in me.
Oh, yeah.
You got a friend in me,
everybody.
When the road looks rough ahead.
I don't know the lyrics.
Yeah, I don't know those
there
words.
We go. It's the Joe and Alex Show. I know it's from Toy Story on Radio Now. And the five friends every person needs, according to a relationship expert. I've went through this, and I don't think I'm on here at all. So I guess I can't be friends with anybody, unless you guys think I am. The coast driver. A coast driver is someone who shares some of the challenges with you, even if you aren't necessarily focused on the same job or goal. They are people who are working to achieve something similar to you along the way, going through a similar process, or seeking, struggling, and working. One of the most important reasons a coast driver is a must as a friend, if you you need someone to commiserate with and vent to, which can bond the two of you even more. If you're trying to go freelance and your friend just started their own business, you might make excellent coast drivers. Is anybody here on the Joe and Alex Show a coast driver?
I don't know.
I'm not sure yet. I want to hear the rest to decide.
Yeah. Okay. The champion. This friend is your cheerleader, ready to build you up whenever you need a self-esteem boost. Their fundamental job is to lift you up when you're struggling and to cheer you on. If you haven't run a mile since gym class and decided to train for a marathon, a champion is the one who believes in you every step of the way and is standing at the finish line with a huge, glittery sign. She stayed up all night decorating.
No, I don't
don't know if anybody on the show is that. Let's continue. The accountant. No, they're not counting your money. They're holding you responsible. If you say that this is your year, you're finally going to get out of your dead-end job, the accountant will continually check in and remind you if you're not on track to hit the goal. This guy or girl is responsible for tough love and isn't afraid to dish it out. And because some friends might be wary of overstepping a boundary, this is a dynamic you might have to ask for. Could you be the person who helps hold me accountable? It's important to actually get that level of agreement from them. You want them to know the outcome, your reason why it matters, the work that's needed, and the commitment that you're making to actually do it. I think so far that might be kind of Alex.
Yeah, I was thinking that's either you or Alex. I think I'm the champion.
Okay. Two more here. Two more, then we'll go through. These are the five friends they say every person needs, according to a relationship expert. The fourth one, the mentor. The best kind of mentor is someone who has either already been through whatever you're dealing with or someone who has successfully led other people down this path before. The friend might be older, but doesn't have to be. They should, however, be more experienced. The fundamental energy of your mentor is wisdom and acceleration, meaning this person will give advice based on a wealth of experience and help make sure you're continuing down the right path to get to your destination. And the final friend that this expert says you need out of the five, the community. These are the friends you can go to brunch with in your sweats, hungover, on 3 hours of sleep, and they're not going to judge you, Liv.
Yeah, Liv.
There we go. They might have totally different stuff going on. You know, one's friend's an inspiring actor, one's a hedge fund guy, and the one is a librarian looking to get into publishing work. That's okay. The fundamental energy that you get from community is a sense of belonging. You know, no matter what happens when you're hanging out, you can be just you. Pretty amazing, right?
I would say that's probably Liv.
Dead on, Liv the web girl. Yeah. You're the community.
So I would actually say, and I think my friends would say, I'm more of the mentor.
Okay.
But I definitely think, what?
Okay. I wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah, explain, mentor.
I've been through and dealt with a lot in my life.
Oh, that's
and
true.
So, and a lot of my like really close friends know that. And in my sorority, people were always coming to me whenever they had problems. Like, I'm not kidding. I would have like 50 girls come to me all the time whenever they were like sad or upset or didn't know what to do about school, their boyfriend, their friends, because I can be super empathetic and compassionate and understanding. I'm actually a really good listener.
So what
and I
you're
give
saying,
really good advice.
What you're saying is your friends are very, very sad.
They're all struggle buses way more than I am. Shocking.
I don't know if that means being a mentor means like you're the best of the struggle buses.
I think
maybe you're more the champion. Like you're the cheerleader. You're ready to build them up. You'll be there to support them.
Yeah,
I think you're more of the champion than the mentor.
I give really, really good advice.
I know, but and I'm not trying to make fun of it, but I'm thinking of recent examples, like the most newest Liv, who you are, and Pork Chop almost in this situation was the mentor of showing you how to do basic things like get your registration and your license and stuff like that. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to bring up a bad thing. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Definitely that, but I also was a mentor in telling him how to grocery shop. So
okay, well then I take back that he's a champion too. I don't know. Maybe he's the community. All right.
Alex is definitely the accountant.
I'd say you have almost all of those qualities.
The accountant is what they're always like, keep holding you accountable.
Yes. And me and Alex actually have a mutual friend, and I think she would 1,000% agree. Our mutual friend would agree that you're the accountant for sure. Claire.
Oh, yes.
1,000%.
Then what do you guys think that producer Pork Chop is? Is he the coast driver, the champion, the accountant, the mentor,
I'm so
the community?
He's the champion. I'll make the sign and like, you can do it.
He's definitely the champion.
Is Joe the one that'll whine with you? Is that like, that's the other option, right?
I thought Joe was the mentor.
Coast driver? Is that the one that's like, I thought one of these said like, if you want, they want to commiserate.
Yeah.
That would be Joe, wouldn't it?
Joe. Yeah.
I feel like I'm there for you to vent. So what would that be? The coast driver?
Yeah. Because that means like you guys are kind of on like a parallel playmate, like a parallel playing field of like what you guys are going through.
I feel like I'm a little bit of each. Like I don't think any of them fully describe it. Like I feel like I do try to cheer people on and give them a boost. I try to do that sometimes. I don't think I'm necessarily an accountant, but at the same time I do. I'm always like, hey, where's this? Why didn't you reply to this? Like I'm always trying to hold people accountable for stuff. think there's a little bit of mentor in me. At least I try to share my knowledge with people, especially if I have more experience than them and I've been there before.
But
they
think
have.
The like going after people and asking them, like, hey, holding them accountable. I feel like yours comes out of stress and anxiety.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Have you gotten this done yet? Because you're pissing me off. And mine comes from, I care about you. I want to make sure you're following up.
I 1,000% agree.
I think it's different.
No, but like, for example, I think it's a mix of that because I go back, and I'm not trying to. I'm trying to be your buddy here. With your car thing, was I not the guy like, hey, did you get that done yet? I mean, that doesn't affect me at all if your car gets repoed.
I know, but I think like it also some weird way stresses you out because I think you take on other people's stress.
I put this up on Twitter at Joan Alex Show, like the 5 different types of friends that you could be or that you should have, and then the link so that you can see more detail what each of them are, and you can tell us which one you think you are, and you can tell us which one you think we are.
Where did you meet your, like, significant other? This is kind of a combined question, too. But I'm also wondering if you would ever date a coworker. The story comes out of Cracker Barrel in Virginia. 5 years ago, Katrina and Travis Nelson fell in love while serving up biscuits and gravy at their local Cracker Barrel. He was a cook and she was a server. And they became, as Katrina said, a Cracker Barrel couple. It was actually kind of cool. After they tied the knot, they went immediately back to Cracker Barrel and took photos because a lot of their friends had to work. Like, that's where everybody was, their friends and their coworkers. So they got some good shots inside of the Cracker Barrel. And I just think it's kind of interesting. Like, that's where they met and that's where they're at. Like, if I was to get married where I met my wife, Lindsay, it would be at like an outdoor kind of a little small concert venue.
Thought it would be at the Twitter headquarters.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm asking. We technically met that way, but I guess in person. Are we doing it like Twitter then?
I would go to the Twitter headquarters.
Yeah, so would you then go to like the Bumble headquarters or where would you go?
The Instagram headquarters, right?
No, for the Egyptian?
Yeah, where'd you meet the Egyptian?
I met him, I mean, the very first time he picked me up and took me to a nice steakhouse,
right.
But we were set up by somebody.
Yeah, so, but didn't he first message you through like Instagram or no? Did he have your phone number?
No, we were set up by a friend.
Right, and he gave the phone number. So he first messaged you.
He texted me after his friend gave him my phone number. I wouldn't count that. Because you know what I mean? Like being set up by somebody makes it different. If he would have direct messaged me on Instagram, then yeah, it would be like Instagram or something. But he didn't do that. Like we were set up.
833-JOE-ALEX. Where would yours be? 833-563-2539. Live the web, girl. What about you and Jewel Daddy?
So we met through my boss at LA Fitness, the gym that I work at.
Okay.
On the side. And he actually, my boss knew that he was kind of interested in me because he had seen me at the gym.
Ooh.
And so one night I was going out like downtown to the bars and I texted like people I work with and like, hey, anyone going out? Like, let's meet up. And then he told his like friend, my boyfriend, Joel Daddy, was like, hey, that girl that you think is really cute is going out. You have to come out with us. I know you're planning on going to your parents this weekend, but like, come on, just stay. Come out with us. And then we met at the bar and rest is history.
Yep, hitting that vape.
This topic is giving me anxiety.
Why, pork chop?
Because I don't want to go.
833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539. Hold on, I'll take a call and then you can maybe tell us. Good morning, who's this?
Hi, this is Courtney.
Courtney, where did you meet your significant other at, like, for the first time?
I met my husband almost 11 years ago at the BP gas station.
No way! Was one of you working there, or you guys were just both pumping gas?
No, actually, I was a junior in high school, and we were running away from a friend at the Plainfield Qdoba, so we pulled into the gas station there. And he had a very nice 83 GMC. Truck, beautiful lifted old truck. So I told my guy friend that I thought his truck was hot. I liked the truck. And being 17, he thought it'd be hilarious to run over and tell this guy that I thought he was hot. And so Blaine comes over and he introduces himself. And I didn't want to be rude. So of course I introduced myself and he was in high school. So I felt it was okay to go ahead and give him my number. Needless to say, 2 months later, I needed a prom date, and so I reached out to him. We did hang out just as friends a couple times here or there, and here we are 10 years later, married with a daughter, and we're going to give out a gas gift cards at our next vow renewal for whoever.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is so cool. Hey, I love it.
Yeah, will you let Producer Porkchop know where that is so he can get some of those gas cards? He would appreciate that.
Hey, absolutely.
That is such a cool story. Thank you for calling into the Joe and Alex Show. 833-563-2539. That's 833-JOE-ALEX. Brittany, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. And if you were to get married for the first spot you met that significant other, where would it be at?
It would be Talbot Street downtown, the gay bar.
Oh, at the gay bar.
Yes.
Do you remember that night, what you drank, what the atmosphere was like?
It was pumping. I don't really remember exchanging phone numbers, but somehow we did, and we started talking after that, and here we are 6 years later.
What song reminds you of that night?
Cher, do you believe in love?
Lady Gaga.
Bad romance.
I'm trying to think the popular gay bar songs.
I can't remember what. So Call Me Maybe. I think that was
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Wow. Okay. So did you say you are married yet or you're going to be? Because that would be like a great song for you guys to come into.
Yeah.
We are married. We didn't have a wedding yet, but we are having a wedding in July.
Well, you're welcome for the pro tip.
Yeah, no kidding. And here's a little something to take you back to that wonderful night. Hey, thank you, Brittany.
Thank you.
You're like, hey, girl, how's it going? What are you doing here?
Call Me Maybe.
Oh, that is so awesome. It's too bad I was already in a relationship then. That would have been a good one right there. Like, hey, call me maybe. Let's go to Ashley. Hey, Ashley. You're on the Joe and Alex Show. What's up, Ashley?
Well, I was calling in to tell you how me and my husband met.
How'd you guys meet?
So it was first in eighth grade, and then we didn't talk until freshman year, and I showed him my chichis in the stairway hallway, and we've been married ever since.
Oh my God! That's amazing!
That is a great example of love at first sight. I'm sure he fell in love with that.
Love at first headlight.
Yes, it sure was love at first
sight. Oh, I love it. Ashley, thank you for calling into the Joe and Alex Show. If you couldn't get through this morning, hit us up on our social media. Tweet us. Let us know where you met each other, at Joe and Alex Show.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Cardi B got personal in Harper Bazaar's March issue cover story, where she opened up about her baby, her relationship with Offset, and more. Ever since Cardi and Offset had their baby, Cardi has been pretty open about her struggles with postpartum depression and its large impact on her career. She said, I thought I was going to have waited. When I gave birth, the doctor told me about postpartum, and I was like, well, I'm doing good right now. I don't think that's going to happen. But out of nowhere, the world was heavy on my shoulders. Cardi B also said that Offset begged her to go to marriage counseling before their split, but she didn't want to. The Bodak Yellow rapper opened up about her split from her husband in the interview as well. She said, I didn't want to go to marriage counseling. He suggested it. I didn't want to go. There's no counselor or nothing that could make me change my mind. You can read the full interview on, it's going to be in newsstands February 19th. Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and Childish Gambino all turned down offers to perform at the 2019 Grammys. All three acts are up for numerous awards this Sunday. The Grammy producer, N. Ehrlich, who is the one that's like in cahoots with Ariana Grande right now, told the New York Times that despite having nearly 20 nominations between them, all three stars had declined to perform at the event. Representatives for each artist also declined to comment on whether they would be attending the ceremony at all. The producer said, the fact of the matter is, we continue to have a problem in the hip-hop world. When they don't take home a big prize, the regard of the Academy and what the Grammys represent continues to be less meaningful to the hip-hop community, which is sad. Michelle Rodriguez had a, I will say, interesting way of defending her co-star Liam Neeson, saying that he's not a racist. The Taken actor came under fire after saying he once sought revenge for a loved one's rape by searching for every black person to kill. But Rodriguez said, it's all BS. Liam Neeson is not a racist. Dude, have you watched the movie Windows? His tongue was so far down Viola Davis's throat, you can't call him a racist ever.
True.
She said, racists don't make out with the race that they hate, especially in the way that he does with his tongue so deep down her throat. I don't care how good of an actor you are. I just like genuinely don't understand that defense. Like, I just don't feel like that's really valid. I mean, you had like plantation owners having, you know, sex with their slaves. Like, that doesn't mean that they're, you know what I mean? That's not like a valid
defense. I'm a racist. I had sex with them.
I don't know. I don't understand that.
I still, though, going back to his thing, Alex, I don't really think his statement, when you hear the full thing, I don't think he meant it as far as being racist. My opinion.
I think it would agree with that. I think it was poorly worded. It was stupid. to say in hindsight. Just not a smart thing to say, and I think he gets that now. I think Michelle's defense was strange, though. Tom Brady isn't offering up any clues about whether he'll visit President Trump at the White House with his teammates. A reporter from NBC asked Brady yesterday if he plans to go to D.C. That's when Tom Brady paused, looked at the crowd, and simply said, "Next question." Tom passed on the White House visit back in 2017, and back then, his wife Giselle was very vocal about her dislike of Trump and his policies. Coming up next in the garbage in about a little less than an hour, the biggest bombshells from Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin's Vogue interview yesterday.
Artist, or you know about art, please call the Joan Alex Show. 833-JOE-ALEX. It's 833-563-2539. We're going to be talking to Benji in just one second here for Freak Show Friday. And he is an artist, and he's going to explain what kind of makes him freaky. If you want to be on Freak Show Friday, kind of like Benji's about to, email the Joe and Alex Show. That's one way, at joeandalexshow@gmail.com. Or you can do it on Twitter and Instagram, at Joe and Alex Show. With no further delay, let's say good morning to Benji. You are on the Joe and Alex Show for Freak Show Friday. So why are we talking to you today? What's going on?
Well, I heard you say I'm a painter, and I am a painter. And my friend Mike, who listens to you guys all the time, said I should call in because he says what I do is freaky, but I think it's not.
Okay.
I've been a painter for my whole life. I'm 33 now, and when I was a kid, I used to paint vegetables. It was my thing. I used to really be into painting that. And my mom really liked what I did, and she was always a big encourager of mine. And then we were up at my uncle's lake house at one point, and I saw my mom in a swimsuit, and I had my easel out, and I was just starting to paint her, and I must have been about 9 at this time. And she really liked the way I would paint her. And eventually we started doing some kind of more boudoir photos, which is what we call it.
Sure.
And she started taking off her clothes for me.
Natural.
And we've been doing this for my whole life, and it's been really great for me. It's really helped me with my painting. I used to see, you know, my mom's body when I was a kid, and obviously I'm 30 now, and she has progressed. She's aged a little bit, and I just think it's so beautiful. I think it's such a natural thing.
Wait,
I get a lot
of flack from this. Are you doing updated profiles and photos or paintings of your mom?
Yeah, we just did one last month.
See, now when I think of painting, Benji, I think of this.
And you just paint a bigger tree right over the top. We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents. And you have a brand new, beautiful tree. That easy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking of painting your mom.
That first, my first painting, because, you know, we were at the lake house, was essentially one of those paintings, like Bob Ross's paintings, but with my mom in it.
Okay, so your mom just didn't think it was weird, her growing son painting her nude at all?
None of us think it's weird. I mean, like, you know, if you think about it, really the first time my mom and I met, we were both essentially nude.
You mean the day you were born?
Yeah. I was born. And so, you know, we've never felt nudity was never a problem in my family.
Okay.
I mean, some people are comfortable with nudity. Like, I remember guys growing up, there was one guy that I knew, and his family would swim together in their pool naked. Like, their whole family, they were
wow.
really comfortable. My mom wouldn't let me go over there to swim, which
yeah.
makes sense now as an adult. But I don't know. You don't think it's a little weird or freaky or strange to paint your mom, I guess? I'm not saying nudity, but...
Not at all. Well, and the thing is, I'm a painter. I usually work with, like, acrylics and whatnot, but as my mom has aged, as the female body gets more mature, there's a lot more... You can do a lot more work with, like, shading and stuff. So these days, I've been doing a lot of, like, charcoal pencils, and there's more things. It's a more interesting canvas now.
Oh, wow, okay.
Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls.
Is that what your mom said to you, Benji?
We don't have any jewelry that size.
There's no heart of the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, I like nude models. No.
Okay. Wow, this is so interesting. I would love to hear from our listeners who know anything about art. Is what he's describing strange to you? Or are you like, you know, it's different, but it really isn't that freaky? Because to me, my initial reaction is absolute freak. But Joe,
are we perverting it then?
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I want to know from our art community that listens, 833 Joe Alex, is Benji weird or is this just like an artsy thing that Joe and I don't understand?
Are you painting nude?
No, I've got clothes on.
Okay, then I don't think it's that weird. If you were painting in the buff and your mom was there, covering her whatever boudoir style, I don't know.
I say weird. I've never even seen my mom naked, so I couldn't imagine painting her.
I see my mom naked and I didn't want to, but that's a whole nother issue. 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. Benji, hang on. We're going to get some calls from people and find out if they think the way you paint is a little weird, a little strange, a little freaky, or no, that's actually not that big of a deal. Next here on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. We are talking to an artist. His name is Benji, and he is a painter extraordinaire. Now, his friend, I think he said Mike or whatever, said, dude, you're a freak. You should be on Freak Show Friday on the Joe and Alex Show because Benji likes to paint his mom. Would you say it's nude, Benji? Does that make sense, or how would you describe the way you paint her?
Usually we say boudoir, but yeah, it's nude.
All right, cool.
And well, you've been doing this not just now, recently as an adult. You're in your early 30s. You've been doing it since you were 9. Is that what you said?
I have tried painting other things, and I'm not interested. My favorite thing is the female form, and my mom has always been my biggest supporter, and she's lovely. So, yeah.
There we go. Okay, Benji, let's see. We got full phone lines this morning at 833-JOE-ALEX that would like to talk to you. So that's what we're going to do. Let's start off with Jasmine. Jasmine, do you think this is kind of freaky what Benji's doing?
I absolutely don't think it's super freaky. I think we're making it something it's not supposed to be. I don't think he's like, hey, mom, will you please take off your clothes so I can see you naked? It's like they're doing an art thing.
So is this totally normal then? I mean, I don't understand.
I mean, it's just, you know, like that's just what worked for them. Like,
would you feel comfortable being around your mom naked?
I do it.
What do you do?
Well, like, even to this day, I'm 23, my mom's 40, and, you know, like, we have, like, one bathroom at home when I go visit them. And sometimes we're, like, carrying up, and if I need to, I'll still hop in the shower with my mom.
Wait, you're 23 and you still shower with your mom?
Sometimes, yeah, like, when we need to hurry up. I mean, she's always showed us, like, hey, you know, yeah, I have what you have. It's just in bigger proportions, or, you know, a little saggier. But
oh my God, that was so weird. My dad's like, son, get in the shower. One day it's going to look like this.
I have what you have, but bigger.
There we go.
Thank you, Jasmine. You guys always come out of the woodwork, and I always feel like I'm never going to be shocked with stuff I hear on this show, and then it happens.
Then Jasmine calls in, and we love her for it. AJ, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. You also got Benji here. What'd you want to say?
I would like to know where these masterpieces are being created at. I mean, are we talking bedroom, kitchen counter?
Benji, where are these
back of the truck?
Where are these artworks? Where are they being done at?
A lot of the times, it's my dad's idea. The paintings that I do, like my dad loves my mom, obviously, and like he will ask for a certain scenario because my dad really loves my mom just, like, living life. So just hopping out of the shower, I've done one of those.
Ah!
Or, like, I've done a painting where she was sunning on the back deck. Or I've done more, like, action shots where she's, like, gardening.
Oh, yeah, when I think of action, I think of gardening.
Gardening naked?
Okay. She's 68, so it's an action shot pretty much at this point. But it's my dad's idea.
Wow.
You know, he's always been in love with her.
Well, let's hope like Google Maps isn't getting a picture of this or whatever.
Like that's the problem.
Wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, that's what I like to find when I pull up to Sunset Avenue. Ben, you're on the Joe and Alex Show, and you also agree, which is amazing to me. This is not that weird. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's weird at all. I don't consider myself an artist, but I am artistic. But yeah, it's just a thing where the human body is just so beautiful, and he gets to kind of experience that with his mother, who's kind of teaching him, I'm assuming, to paint, to draw, to go about his artistic ability.
and she's full support of it.
Maybe this is a thing with guys that their names start with, like, Ben. We've got Ben here, and then Benji.
Well, yeah, is this a Ben thing?
I mean, it could be, I guess. But, I mean, I grew up very conservative Republic, and it's just along the way where we're in a culture where everyone just over-sexualizes everything.
So what you're saying is Republicans are who churn out the freaks.
Well, I mean, I could go into that a lot if I wanted to, but I don't think we have enough airtime for that.
All right, Ben. Well, I appreciate that.
For the record, I do agree with that.
Okay. Well, that is wonderful to know. We got some interesting tweets here, too, Benji. Azel says, "How does he paint other females naked or just mom? Are there other women, or is it you just stick to the best picture possible, and that's your mom?"
I can't get anybody to do it but my mom. I have to usually pay for it if I want to try to get somebody else. But my mom's always free, and I'm an artist, so I can't afford anything else.
That's true. You're probably a struggling broke artist. And Katie J brings up a good point on our Joan Alex Show Twitter. She says, "Let Benji be a girl and be drawing the dad. Everybody be losing their mind."
Ooh.
I think that's a good point.
Oh, is it a gender thing? Are we feeling differently and more accepting because he's a male?
And the female body is so delicate and beautiful.
My little sister never got into it. She never wanted to have any part of this.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Did you ever want to draw your dad?
Nope. No interest.
He said female body.
All right.
Dudes are ugly.
Yeah. I agree. Nobody wants to draw.
Benji, you're my favorite Freak Show Friday we've had in a long time. I think you're freaky, but a lot of our listeners don't. So this is
a
really interesting one.
100% support.
You really have almost.
You
yeah.
do. Well,
would
hey.
You come draw Alex?
Well, you can describe me Alex.
She's so beautiful, and her hair's in a bun. And
is she 60 plus?
Nope.
Then no thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex. It's not going to be happening for you.
Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls.
Rejected again.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Oh, yeah. Show me your big, fat, juicy brain, Daddy. Show me that big brain.
All right, it's the Joe and Alex Show. There we go. And we are going to do a little game this morning. Producer Porkchop, explain how it works for these Travis Scott tickets.
So today we're going to be playing Smart Alex.
I'm so smart. My name's Alex. Watch me be smart.
And the reason we're playing this today...
Yeah.
...is we're going to see how smart she is, and she can't complain.
I won't complain.
It depends on the subject.
Just give me the question, and I'll be fine.
There are you smarter than a fifth grader question.
I'm going to suck at this.
Oh, I'm going to be so good at this.
You guys should see the smug face and look on Porkchop's face right now.
Yeah, why are you so smug?
Like, oh
is this
gosh.
Punishment? Because I said yesterday my words were hard. That's what it is.
I'm just for you.
Okay.
So the way... Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm just being stupid.
Oh. So the way this is going to work is I'm going to ask Alex a question. You then need to answer the question.
Okay.
We will have someone on the line. We'll get Zoe on line two.
All right, Zoe, good morning. You're on the Joe and Alex Show.
Oh, my gosh. Hello.
Now, Zoe, when Alex answers the question, you have the option to say she is right or she is wrong.
So you have okay, to, cool.
So as a team, you have to get 3 out of 5 right.
Hope you have a big, fat, juicy brain.
Okay, sounds
well,
good.
All she has to say is if you got it right or wrong. I hope you've got the brain.
Oh, I hope I do.
But Zoe, though, what? Do you have a big, fat, juicy brain, or what's it look like?
I guess we'll find out, won't we?
I like big, fat, juicy brains, and I
cannot
lie.
You other dummies can't deny.
All right, Alex, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. If we're going to officially begin, let's begin.
Who was the second president of the United States?
Abraham Lincoln.
Zoe, is she right or wrong?
She's right.
That is incorrect.
Dang it.
Who
is
it? Oh my God.
John Quincy
my
Adams.
Hold on a second. Alex, you think that Lincoln
was
the 16th, second president?
16th? Right, 16.
It was between him and George Washington.
Never mind.
My first guesses.
Never mind. I thought he was the fifth. I guess I'm a dummy too because he's on the $5 bill. Anyways, continue.
Oh, yes.
George Washington was
that
first.
I do not know. I'm not good at keeping track of what numbers what presidents are.
We are on the air in Houston, Texas, and Indianapolis. What's the capital of Texas?
Oh my gosh!
Come on, this is easy.
Zoe, is it Houston?
Incorrect.
That is incorrect, so Zoe got that one right. What is it, Zoe? Go ahead and tell her.
Austin, Texas.
That's right. I knew that.
Oh, wow.
You started making me nervous because of your smug look.
He's so smug.
All right, 1 for 2.
One
gotta get
for
3
two.
Out of 5.
Uh-oh.
On your Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
For the record, I said I wouldn't be good at this.
How many ounces are in one cup.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm horrible at this.
You have a number.
I know this.
And don't
I
tease it, because if you give the right answer, you might influence her wrong.
Three ounces.
Zoe?
Correct.
Oh, you guys have are so no dumb. Idea.
It's eight.
8 ounces in one cup.
All right, one for three. You got to get these next two right to win.
What white puffy clouds are known as fair weather clouds?
Cellulose.
Zoe, is that correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
You're right. The answer is cumulus.
I knew it was something like that. See, I was close.
All right, so it comes down to this final question here. A little bit of pressure.
Alex, what color is an emerald?
Green.
That's correct.
That means you're going to see Travis Scott.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! Woo! Congratulations going out
Thank
to Zoe.
So
now that was a good game.
Oh,
oh wow. Look at we're getting pork chop. It doesn't happen. Take the praise. Enjoy the praise.
Bask in it.
Yes, because it will just... never come ever again.
I wanted her to lose so bad.
Oh, I told you, I'm horrible at those types of things.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something. I was not book smart in school. I was terrible. I never brought one book home all of high school. I didn't study once, but I skated by with an average GPA, but I just hated school.
So let me say you are proving my point that my games are fine and you just don't understand them.
No, I don't.
No, this one I
understand.
Let me. I'm on top. Let's play a song.
Okay. No, congratulations. Well, actually, you don't know. He could be on bottom, but congratulations. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. The number to call in, 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. Wondering, how did you get your name? Like, there's a story behind it, whether it's bizarre, weird, strange, maybe you hate it. I'm going to give you some examples. I saw this on BuzzFeed. I'm like, oh my God, I can't imagine my parents being this white trash, which they are pretty white trash, but not this bad. Somebody said, my name is Carly Dale. How do you think this girl got her name Carly Dale? Any guesses here?
I have no idea. Chippendale?
Nope, not Chippendale. She says, I'm named after cars and race car driver Dale Earnhardt.
Ooh.
So Carly is cars and Dale Earnhardt. So there you go. Carly Dale.
Okay.
All right. This one is kind of back. I don't know if you or Liv know this because you were born a little bit later than me. But my parents decided before I was born that my initials would spell Alf. Do you know what Alf is?
Yeah, that weird furry guy.
Yeah, the old TV show back in the 80s. Do you know what that is, Liv, or no?
Yeah, I like can picture it in my head.
Okay, a little before your time. Because apparently that was in the 80s, and her dad smoked a ton of pot and loved the show. Later, my dad called my mom from a bar and said, we should name her Amber. His inspiration came from the beer he was drinking, like an amber beer.
Yeah.
An amber ale.
Yeah, so I'm named after a beer and an alien who eats cats.
Oh, gross.
So that's wonderful. 833-JOE-ALEX. Want to know how you got your bizarre, weird, kind of a strange name. This one's pretty good, too. My parents hadn't been able to come up with a name for me when my dad found a Shannon sticker on the bottom of his boot. I guess it got stuck there. He peeled up and told my mom, hey, I found the perfect name. We're going to call her Shannon. Another one right here. This happens in Texas. My mom was driving down the road, and one day when she passed a truck with the name saying Keaton's Plumbing on the door, bam, the rest is history. My name today is Keaton.
Okay, so really it's what's the bizarre reasoning behind your
right.
name? The names are normal. Carly's normal. Shannon's normal. Keaton's normal. But it's the weird story mm-hmm. behind it, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then let's see, there's some other ones. My parents named me Casey after Pamela Anderson's character on Baywatch.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
I mean, is that the worst thing to be named after?
Well, my boyfriend, Joel Daddy, was named after a person on, like, so what's like a really popular soap opera? Like
Days
Young and
of
the Restless.
Lives,
like
Young
it
and
was
Restless.
Either Days of Our Lives or Young and the Restless. Like one of those characters who was super hot, like his mom named after him.
My mom and dad were watching a movie, and my mom cannot remember what the movie was, but it was when the credits were rolling. She saw the name Alexandra.
She
or no,
it?
My dad did. My dad saw the name Alexandra and asked my mom, what do you think of Alexandra? And she said, I love it. And then that's how I got my name.
Okay, then there's another one here. I was born on the religious holiday, All Saints Day. I think you guys probably heard of All Saints
yeah,
Day.
That's my
that
favorite
is.
Store.
Okay. So my parents named me Christian, and my middle name was Jesus. it doesn't help my last name is Cruz, which means cross.
Oh, wow.
I have the most religious name ever, and by the way, I'm an atheist.
Wow.
I feel like God will strike you down with like a bolt of lightning for that.
Look out, you're going to get smited.
And the final one before we take your calls at 833-JOE-ALEX, 833-563-2539. My dad named me after the secretary in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. When he heard Ed Rooney scream, Grace! He thought it was a good screaming name that he'd have to scream a lot.
Grace! Grace!
Look, I can give you every assurance, Mr. Rooney, that Ferris is home and he is very ill. In fact, I debated whether or not I should even leave him.
Grace!
She just died. Remember that?
Yeah,
I just put it in the garbage.
The garbage. Yeah, mm-hmm. So kind of a little timely right there.
Oh, no, she didn't die. She did not die.
Oops.
But she is close. She is like, she
her
has dementia.
Really bad.
Gosh, we can't
sorry.
Say that.
I know. Sorry, I messed up. I forgot.
That.
No, she has like dementia or something. Aww. Super sad.
Is this Dwayne?
Yes, sir.
All right, say your name. I want to make sure I'm getting it right.
Dwayne.
Dwayne, okay. What's the story behind your name?
So, originally, my father wanted to name me Erdie after an old man that he was very close friends with. And after my mom wouldn't let him name me Erdie, they decided upon Dwayne, which was the name of one of Erdie's sons who actually drowned in the pond at Waterman's Farm.
Oh, my goodness.
So, both of these were kind of an honor, it sounds like, of people. Even though I don't know if I'd want to be named after somebody that drowned in a pond.
Were you scared of swimming after that?
Oh, I bet he was. Hey, thank you for calling in this morning to the Joe and Alex Show. Sky, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. How'd you get your name? I feel like it has to do with looking up in the air.
No, actually, I was named after, kind of like what Liv said, a soap opera that was popular in the 90s. But it was called All My Children.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I guess like, there was an actress named Sky Chandler, and like my dad is like obsessed with her, so they named me after her.
That's so funny. I think it's kind of like funny/weird when like a dad is obsessed with the woman, like thinks she's really hot, and then like wants to name their child after that hot woman.
Creepy, like a little bit of a creepster level right there. That's insane. 833-JOE-ALEX. Let's talk to Chase.
Hey, what's up, man? How are y'all?
We're doing good. Tell us about the name.
Yeah, so the reason I'm calling in is because I heard Alex's story about Jewel Daddy's name in the Days of Our Lives. So my name is Charles Scott Blank III, and my mom didn't like me going by Charles or Chuck or anything like that. So I asked her where Chase came from, and she said that she named me after a guy named Chase on Days of Our Lives that was, quote-unquote, very sexy. So now my mom calls me Charles.
There's a lot of soap opera naming going on in our audience.
Yeah, I like that though. It shows that we're very cultured.
I feel like when we have kids, it's going to be all after like reality TV stars because like that's going to be the big thing.
Oh, I know yours will certainly be that. Kira, you're on the Joe and Alex Show. What's going on? Tell us about the name.
Yeah, so my name is Kira, obviously, and my mom, when she was younger, she went to the bar and spilled her drink on this lady and was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. And they got to talking, and her name was Kira, and she just fell in love with it. So I'm actually named after somebody my mom spilled her drink on while she was drunk in 21.
Wow. Wait, hold on. Was your mom drinking while pregnant?
No, thank God. I wasn't born until a year later.
Oh, I was like, are you sure about that? Your mom's bellying up to the bar. She's like, I wish I could get closer, but this damn baby's in the way. Huh? Dang it, Kara. Hey, thank you for calling in and sharing. We really appreciate you. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Alex, you say that you are learning a lot, and what are you learning?
I'm learning to be a child advocate, or a CASA, a court-appointed special advocate. I enrolled in our city's local child advocate program, and basically, I talked about this a couple months ago that I was going to start. Now my classes have officially started. Usually, you get into that way sooner than I did, but I had traveling and stuff, so I had to wait. But now I'm in the thick of the classes, and a child advocate, if you don't know, is somebody that basically you're volunteering your time to help a kid that's in the foster care system and kind of helping with the process of finding out where they should permanently live. If it's with the foster family, going back to their biological parents, getting adopted, whatever. But you really get to know the child, and then you get to be their voice in court and talk kind of for them, say, this is what so-and-so really wants, and here's what I've observed. And I get to kind of be a little bit of an investigator and a detective and interview everyone in their life and kind of make a report on what I think also and what I've observed about where they're living.
What makes you want to do that? Like, what made you care about that?
Well, all of the cases that you get. So you get assigned like one or two cases at a time, and every single child has gone through some sort of abuse. So neglect, sexual abuse, physical abuse. And that interests me. I just have a huge like pull on my heart to help kids that have been through abusive situations. I didn't personally grow up with that, but I just have a huge heart for that. I'm interested in it, and I like the idea of playing even a very small part in being a light in a child's life that has gone through, you know, such a traumatic experience in their life that I, you know, really can't understand because I didn't go through that. But I like being at least a little part of the process of helping them after that and kind of getting their life back on track.
So how many classes have you been to?
I've been to, I've done a couple online classes. It's a mix of in-person and online, and so far two in-person classes.
Now, what are you learning?
Right now, we have learned about the legal process of how all of this works, because not only are you visiting 6 to 10 hours a month, you get to go and do your interviews and visits and talk to their teachers, their biological parents, foster parents, the kid themselves and all this, but you also go to court a couple times. And so you're, you know, really understanding why people are making the decisions that they are as far as like, you know, your child protective services people and all that stuff. What were you asking me?
I'm asking, like, what are you kind of learning about here?
We learned that.
They're training you too, right?
Yes. So that we learned that. And then also last night we did a cultural sensitivity class. And so I learned all about majority of the people that are in this program that are going to need a child advocate are probably different than me. So, you know, I'm white. A lot of the kids might be African American or they might be Hispanic and everything. And so I'm going to be walking into a lot of different cultures. And they kind of talk to us about, you know, things like that. And also people that are in these situations, a lot of times if you've had your kid pulling out of your home and stuff and there was abuse going on, it just, the situation itself, like in the house, might look different than what we grew up with. So like you might walk into a house that is extremely messy. And what I thought was interesting was they gave us a picture that looked like kind of like a coloring book. Like it was a white and black outline of like a messy house and all these different things going on in the house. And they asked us to point out, what do you see in this picture that is positive? What do you see in this picture that is negative, and reasons why you might think this child is in a dangerous situation and needs to leave the home? And what was interesting was at first glance, I'm looking at this picture and I'm like, oh my gosh, this house is awful. There's food everywhere. There's dishes piled high. The mom was sitting on the couch in the picture smoking cigarettes inside the house, which is obviously something now we know is like not good. Mm-hmm. But also in the picture, even though it was an absolute mess, there was a dad that was walking in the front door that was getting home from work. And the mom was sitting on the couch smoking, but her kids were playing on the floor in front of her while she was watching TV. And yes, there was food everywhere and it was super messy, but there was food. And so the way they teach you how to look at these situations, like, I didn't grow up in a messy house like that. But just because I walk into a messy house doesn't mean that I have to advocate that the child is removed from the home. A messy house isn't illegal. Is the child safe? You know, the parents are working. They're obviously not being neglected in the way that, like, the mom was paying attention to them, that she was watching them. They were sitting in front of her and they're being fed. There was a pile of laundry on the floor, so they're being clothed.
Whoa, yeah.
They teach you in this cultural sensitivity class how to look at things a little bit differently and what are reasons that you can remove a child from a home and reasons that you can't. But I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on this and kind of tell you what I'm being walked through and taught. And I will give you updates as I learn more things that I think are interesting. But if you're interested in being a child advocate, Live the Web Girl is going to put a swipe up for you for more information on our Instagram story at Joan Alex Show. That'll take you to the Child Advocate Center for Marion County in Indianapolis, Indiana, where we broadcast out of. If you're listening somewhere else, like in Houston, if you just Google your county and child advocates, you can find a center where you volunteer at. But I think this is such a cool and interesting program if you have a heart for helping abuse children at all.
Wow, that is really cool. And I'm really glad that you're doing that. I'm glad that you're sharing it. And I'm sure people can reach out to you. They can do Yo Alex Raz with a Z for her social media or Joe and Alex Show to slide into our DMs. But that is some good stuff, Alex.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I love trash.
It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now.
Who cares about this garbage?
Justin Bieber admitted that he had a legitimate problem with Xanax and sex while he was depressed. The singer opened up about his life in a new interview in Vogue that came out yesterday with his new wife, Hailey Bieber, or Hailey Baldwin. In it, he said, "I found myself doing things that I was so ashamed of, being super promiscuous, and I was using Xanax because I was so ashamed of my promiscuity." He said, "Drugs put a screen between me and what I was doing. It got really dark, but I think there were times when my security was even coming in late at night to check my pulse and see if I was still breathing."
Gee,
he
that's
said,
bad.
Yeah, he said he was very depressed on tour, saying he was lonely and needed some time to himself. If you remember on the Purpose tour, he canceled, I think, the last like 19 nights
shows,
or whatever.
Yeah,
he admitted that was because of the depression that he was struggling with. He said also the year before he got with his ex, because I guess him and Hailey Bieber had dated for a little bit before they got married, and then they broke up and then they got back together. That's when they got married. But he said that he was celibate the entire year leading up to them meeting. So he had like started to decide, hey, I'm going to wait now, you know, till I'm married to have sex. So he said, yes, one of the reasons they got married so fast after dating again was because they both wanted to have sex and they weren't.
That's why, like, I can't believe Alex isn't married yet.
Oh, well, trust me. Why do you think I'm pressuring all my boyfriends? Let's get this thing on the road.
Now it makes sense. Before, it's just like, come on, I'm tired of waiting.
Why do you think all these people? That's why, like, that's the thing, though, too. It's like Duggars and all that. Like, they all wait, you know, to even, like, hold hands, some of them.
I don't know how the Duggars don't explode, because they aren't even allowed to hold hands or kiss. It's like, I would just... couldn't hold it in.
Michael Jackson's former maid claims the King of Pop was a predatory pedophile who sexually abused dozens of children, filmed his sick encounters, and kept the footage in a secret library hidden at his Neverland ranch. The woman says she often fished Michael's and children's underwear from his jacuzzi and bathtubs at the home. Yeah. She witnessed kids walking around barely clothed. She said she found Vaseline and feminine products next to his bed and scattered around the house. She said she recalls the singer having a strange obsession with photos of naked children. At one point, he told her he wanted laminated photos of naked infants in his bedroom. She said that he had a large collection of VHS cassettes she believed were sex tapes that he had filmed with children in the 90s, though she never saw what was on the tapes. If you read this Daily Mail interview, there's more detail. So the reason why she did not testify, she was asked, but like she was threatened, like his bodyguard told her, like, if you testify, we'll kill you. So that's what she says happened. So you can read the whole interview on Daily Mail. Robert De Niro had a public meltdown yesterday when he stepped out of the Manhattan courthouse following divorce proceedings and his driver wasn't there. The actor shouted at his driver while hiding from photographers behind newspapers.
Can you see all the photographers out here? No, you're not where you dropped us off.
Yeah, he was losing it, and he was just like holding. I watched the whole clip, it was like 3 minutes, and it's like, dude, we are taking pictures of you. We can totally see you with two pieces of paper in your face.
Yeah, he's going through kind of a rough time. I kind of understand. His lawyer had suggested when this was going on, they go back inside the building to deal with the matter until the driver arrived. When they went inside, De Niro said, "This is ridiculous." He went in. He was there going to court to deal with hearings related to his divorce from his wife, Grace Hightower, following 20 plus years of marriage. They were in court dealing with the custody of their 6-year-old daughter, Helen Grace. And Kim Kardashian West explained why she wanted a fourth baby.
My house is so full, but I heard that parents of four are the most enlightened and calm of all parents.
Really?
The most calm. Yes.
Four?
Yes, I heard that. So I felt the huge change from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Felt like 1 to 20.
No, really?
That was like that was harder than 2 to 3 for me.
That's the garbage.
Good morning. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. Call in 833-JOE-ALEX. That's 833-563-2539. And maybe we'll find out what kind of drunk you are based on your zodiac sign. Let's start things off this morning with Liv the Web Girl. Liv, I didn't mean to insult you. You were kind of quiet a second ago when I teased this. I don't think necessarily like you're a huge drunk. But I know that you, like, turn into a different person when you're, like, doing your drinking.
See, that's so funny because I don't.
Yes, you do, Liv. No. I've seen you when you went out with Jewel Daddy for his birthday.
Hold on. Listen, here is also the thing is that I obviously act different when I'm at work. And a lot of times I'm working literally nonstop. I'm either posting stuff to social media. I'm editing audio. I'm listening to audio. Like, I'm constantly doing things. And that's why I think you think that. Because in college and even just growing up in high school, college, after college, even like all of Jewel Daddy's roommates who like I'm pretty close to, they always think I'm drunk because I just act the same when I'm drunk. And when I'm not drunk, it's just like I'm at a bar or like I'm at like a house.
So how would you, that's how you would describe like drunk Liv?
Lot of energy. That's okay. Basically it. Lot of energy. And yeah.
Well, according,
and dancing a lot, but I do that all the time.
According to your zodiac sign, that's not accurate. It starts with one drink, then another, then you've ordered another round, then one more. Suddenly you're super drunk. But as a Taurus, you know, your friends over there chilling. Taurus, I guess they say, have dignity.
Ooh. See, that
and
is
I don't
not
think,
me.
And that's not you. They say it's hard to make you look foolish.
Yeah, interesting. That is not hard at all. I would say that I've lost my dignity probably close to 500 times in college alone. So.
Oh, yes. It keeps on going and going. Alex, what would you say the kind of drunk you are?
I love having deep talks.
Okay.
And also, I get very horny.
Okay, that is something I did not need to know. All right.
I am a huge flirt when I'm drunk. All I want to do is make out with the Egyptian. Yeah. I'm bad.
You're a bad girl. Okay. Well, for Alex, it says being a Pisces, you're a high drunk.
Yeah, my birthday is in like less than 2 weeks, by the way.
Oh, okay, guys, noted.
We have to get her something.
What do they mean by a high drunk?
You're the slippery fish of the zodiac sign. You find the most remote little corner of any party and camp out there.
Yes. That is so Alex. She camps out there and then she just investigates and asks a billion questions.
Exactly. Yeah, remember? Okay, so a couple Alex. Nights ago, we went out to a bar. Somebody brought a friend who is a dancer. And I immediately started asking her 100 questions about her life and life choices. Just curious. I just, you know, obviously that's a totally different profession than what we do. And I love knowing about like different things like that. So I asked her 100 things and somebody told me I was acting like an FBI agent.
You kind of were. It says too, as far as high drunk, like that's what a Pisces is, it's a sign of intoxication, which you can, I guess, broadly interpret. I don't know. Basically, when they're drunk, they're kind of high too, and they might change your life if you let them. So,
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I was asking that girl thought-provoking questions that made her, she was like, whoa, that's deep.
Right. And she was like, maybe this isn't the career field I want to be in.
Yes.
Like, rethinking everything.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to producer Porkchop here. What is your birthday? Like, what's your sign, bud?
I'm a Libra, October 1st.
Oh my gosh, you are such a Libra in and out. That's insane.
You are, I can totally see this. You're a lovey-dovey drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, crap. There we go. Lenny, our technical producer in Houston, we're going to get to you in just 1 second there, buddy, because I want to find out what your sign is. If you're missing the show, he's brand new. Lenny's our guy in Houston on the new 92.1 Radio Now. But Porkchop, what would you describe yourself as? Like, what kind of drunk are you?
I definitely don't get angry. I do get very happy and lovey. And
like
I probably,
sappy?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I wouldn't say sappy, no. I probably just start sharing way too much information.
Okay. They say that you're the lovey-dovey drunk. I love you.
Is that what you're like, Joe?
Kind of. I love you. That's something that the Libra drunk will say from the moment the first shot touches their lip. That does kind of make sense of Porkchop.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe.
You're all about love in all forms. Even one glass of wine can elevate a new acquaintance to best friend status.
That's cute.
I mean, yeah, I'll agree with that.
But it also says that you guys make people feel welcome. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something Porkchop does, and you have a natural presence of equality. That kind of sounds like you.
Yeah, but I'm not one to hang over someone and be like, oh my gosh, I love you. Like, ugh, annoying.
Okay, well, I like to do that. I like to pick people up and hug them. I'll get to mine in just 1 second. I'm a Sagittarius. But Lenny, what are you, bud? When's your birthday? What are you?
November 5th. I'm a Scorp.
Ooh, Scorpio. What would you say you are? What kind of drunk are you?
It depends on what I'm drinking. Like, I think a lot of people are like this. If you drink, like, brown alcohol, you get angry.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I remember the first time I ever tried Hennessy, I was at a party, and I turn, and there's a dude leaning against the oven, and the gas was on.
Ooh.
And I start freaking out. I'm like, are you trying to kill me, bro? And I'm like pushing him.
All right. Well, I don't know if this matches up because they say that a Scorpio is a seductive drunk.
Oh.
Lady.
Hey.
Lenny single.
Yep. The award for the most sexy eye stares while sauce goes to Lenny, a Scorpio. They have a reputation for being highly sexual, and that's usually interpreted too literally. Like, they really, really want it. And if a Scorpio is crushing on someone, they're usually flirting at maximum capacity, and they can't do anything about it.
I think that this fits you so well, Lenny, because you are always posting thirst traps.
Yeah, Liv, it says right here that you can easily see how thirsty they really are.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way,
it is kind of true.
If you have not seen a photo of our thirst trap, our very own Lenny, you need to go onto our Joe and Alex Show Instagram, follow us, and I think it's like the second or third photo up there.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, like people are hitting Lenny up so hardcore, like because he's so attractive, he's shirtless. Pork chops.
I got like 15 DMs about people asking me for feet pics.
Uh-oh.
Joe, don't even say I'm jealous because my picture got 750 likes.
Okay, first of all, I guarantee you.
But how many comments?
Yeah, how many DMs are people wanting to do things with you?
I mean, I get DMs all the time.
All right, cool, man. Well, that right there is what's going on with your sign. Oh, and I'll tell you mine real quick. I'm a Sagittarius. For me, I'll tell you what kind of drunk I am. I am very loving. Mm-hmm. I'm a hugger. I'm a physical toucher.
Yes.
Not inappropriately.
You are so touchy when you're drunk.
But hold on, though. Alex, confirm it. You can be honest. I'm not like sexual harassment touch.
Lovey. Exactly what he said.
Pork chop, there's a difference. There's people that drunk and get handsy.
No, he's not getting handsy like that. He's just like, Alex, how are you? Come give me a hug.
Yeah, which is typically not me, but that's what I do. I also, in the same thing, I like to pick people up. Usually guys, I'm like, that's how I almost got fired at my first full-time radio gig.
What do you mean?
I was drunk at a country thing, and I was drinking with some no-name country artist, but I was drinking a bunch of whiskey, and I was just blackout, and we were all, like, the concert was over at this little festival. I picked him up. I'm like, come here, Russ! And he's this little guy. He's like, put me down!
Oh, my gosh.
And I spun him around, and yeah, I got written up for it, but they didn't fire me, so that was a fun event. But, hey, whatever you do, you can be any kind of drunk this weekend. Just make sure you're not drinking and driving.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
Well, we don't often go to Canada for our Dummy of the Day stories, but today I hope it's going to be okay with everybody. Police in Canada were called to break up a fight, not at a bar, but at a senior living facility. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was actually between people living there, not staff. They stopped an argument after a bingo game got out of control. Officers arrived to find a 79-year-old woman and a much older 86-year-old lady in a physical dispute. Now, what do you think they were fighting over at the bingo game?
Who won or who got the right answer?
They didn't even get to the bingo part, Alex. Before that, they were arguing over a seat. Apparently, this was a special seat, and these two ladies were willing to throw down to get the best bingo seat.
Wow. Just like a front row? Just to like be up and close and personal?
I guess both of them say like that's their favorite seat.
I'm just really blown away that these women that are in the assisted living have this much energy to like get up and start a brawl.
Yeah, I like how like spry they are. That's great. Apparently, it turned into a brawl involving several other residents who were in the room. So you think they had like old girl, like granny gangs? Like, girl, come over here. Come here, Penny. We're going to beat up Bernadine. We're going to punch her in the hip. Take her down. No serious injuries were reported, and police decided, you know what, we're not going to charge any of the old people here. Can you imagine, like, hey, we got to go bail grandma out again. What'd she do? Fighting at bingo again, grandma?
They've been through enough. Just let them be.
Yeah, no kidding. That right there is your dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now. All right, we need your help. Go to our social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Joe and Alex Show. On Facebook, just search for Radio Now. And on my, that's all of them, right? I got them all. Wow, we have so much social. Okay, check out the photo. We have a listener. Her name is Lauren, and she's about to get a French Bulldog puppy. It's a boy. She's going to get him in a few days. And she wants us to help her come up with a name because she's like, I don't know what to name him. Our dogs that I got, Benny and Paddington, that was just their names. We really didn't change them up. I kind of wish we would have, but we didn't. 833-JOE-ALEX. Maybe any suggestions or maybe like how you came up with your dog's name if there's a certain way to do it. That's 833-563-2539.
A lot of people are commenting and saying that she should name him Blue.
Yeah, I saw that. That's so random.
Now, I'm going to look at the photo again. Does the dog have blue eyes or why are people saying to name it Blue?
I don't know. They look kind of grayish blue. The dog is gray. He's got pointy ears. I mean, it's a French bulldog. You should know what
so
that looks
cute.
Like.
A little small one, yeah.
Really?
really, you can just call us and tell us, 833-JOE-ALEX, what kind of names you would like for a French bulldog that's a boy, if you can't even
look at the picture. A winner. Eddie's got a good one. He said Joe.
Of course.
No. Brenda says Yoda. I like Yoda because of the ears.
Yeah.
Because the French Bulldogs have those like high ears.
Well, here's the thing. I think, like, my opinion, when it comes to picking out a dog's name, you have to be able to say it, like, when you're trying to call it, or if there's danger or something, you have to, like, yell it. Would you be able to yell out Yoda live?
Yeah, I'd be able to yell at Yoda. You know what I wouldn't be able to yell out? Paddington!
Yeah, that's way harder.
Like, your dog's names are so... You can't have an opinion on that.
Did I pick them out?
You should have named...
No.
I mean, Paddington, Cornelius, yeah. Thurston. It's like the weird names.
I would not have picked out... I'll be honest, if they're listening, I love you, boys. I would not have picked out Paddington or Bennington. That's why I call him Paddy! Benny.
Ooh. I really like the name Fries because it's a French bulldog.
That's
like
really
French
cute.
Fries.
Fry or fry, or little fry, or small fry.
What did you call it if it's a French bulldog? You'd be like, baguette!
So Lenny, our technical producer in Houston, commented, he said, he's French. I say call him Pierre. Love that.
Wait, hold on.
That's
so
cute.
Lenny,
cute.
Lenny, you'd call him Pierre? Like, that's what you would name the dog is Pierre? My name is Pierre. I am the French bulldog.
Yes, and that's so easy to say. Like, Pierre, come get your baguette.
Pierre, you've been such a good boy. Yes. Oh, no, you wee-weed on my couch. Bad Pierre.
Pierre, go party.
I want him to be named something like Cheddar, because I think that's funny.
Cheddar?
Yeah. My friend's dog's name is Butter.
Somebody wrote Butters.
Butters. Yeah. Come here, Butters. Hey, Butters. How you doing there, Butters?
Someone wrote Kai. I think that's cute, but I like something like French.
I like
themed.
Funny.
Yeah, French and funny.
Hopper. That sounds... Kim suggested Hopper. That sounds like a frog to me.
Yeah, Hopper, not into it.
Oh, I like this one. Bentley. What do you think of Bentley?
Come here, Bentley. I love the name Bentley for dogs.
Oh, man.
I like funny, weird names for dogs, so...
I want to name my dog Grandpa when I get a dog.
Yeah, like, that's
I think
funny.
That's so cute.
I think one thing, though, too, like, a good rule is for coming up with a name, stripper names work really well with a dog.
Like Cinnamon?
Cherry Twist.
Where are you going? What strip clubs are you going to? Oh, my gosh. It's the Joe and Alex Show on Radio Now 100.9. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. And you can see everything at joeandalexshow.com. What do you guys got going on this weekend? Anything fun? What's happening?
I need to do some Marie Kondo stuff to my apartment. Major.
Well, you need to find joy, some spark, some joy.
I don't know what it is, and I'm telling you, like... I have been taking my trash out. I tried to put like dish soap in my disposal. It's not my bathroom, but somewhere around my kitchen, something smells like a giant fart.
Ew,
I can't figure out what it is. I don't know if it's an apartment like close to me that's like filtering into mine, but it smells like a fart every time
that's
I open
so
my apartment.
Foul.
That's so uncharacteristic of you.
I know.
Do you have wallflowers like from Bath and Body Works?
No.
Well, you should, I mean, one. I
like those plug-in things?
Yeah, those plug-in things. So I have eucalyptus. And so every time my door opens, it's like a waft of like fresh eucalyptus smell. And it's amazing.
But that doesn't get rid of the actual problem. You're just masking it with eucalyptus.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't have a plug-in thing, but I do have like a hot chocolate smelling candle. And I've been lighting that. So it smells like chocolate farts.
That's so
It sounds like you live in a college apartment. You're trying to cover up the smell of weed.
That's the thing. I live in a really nice apartment. I don't know what it is. If it doesn't start going away, I'm going to have to tell the people, like, you know, in charge of my apartment.
You think something died in a wall?
That's honestly what I was thinking, but I was like, it doesn't smell like a dead body. It just smells like a fart. It smells like sulfur is what it is.
Interesting. I wonder if maybe like the salt to try to keep like the sidewalks not icy. I wonder if that's it maybe.
No way. That would not have that smell.
I'm also up pretty high, so it's not like it's something on the ground. You wouldn't be able to smell that from my apartment.
Okay, what about you, Pork Chop? What do you got going down?
It's my first weekend without my good old friend MYK here. And Chase, my boyfriend, has tonight off and all day tomorrow off.
So what are you guys doing?
I don't know. We got paid. Well, we got paid today, so there's money. So that's nice. I don't know why that was the sound effect.
Hey, you guys do you. And Liv, what do you got going down?
I'm actually today going back home to see my mom and my sisters and all my sister's kids because my brother-in-laws and my dad are all out of town. So we're going to have like a girls' night tonight. I'm so excited.
That's so fun.
Oh, man. I'm having a girls' night. No, actually, I'm not. I'm kind of like Pork Chop. For once, I don't have anything going on. I'm free tonight and I'm free Saturday.
Lindsay's gone?
No. No, Lindsay.
Oh, my God. message?
No, I don't mean in a bad way. I'm like, no, she's here. So Lindsay will be here, but we have a lot of just boring crap to do. I want to do more of what you're talking about. I want to do some more tidying up and get to that, but we got to do, I don't know, we got to do laundry, we got to grocery shop, we have to get her oil changed in her car. So all the fun, boring stuff. But no, I would love to spend all week in tidying. If you have not checked out Marie Kondo, you are missing out. Spark some joy in your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, Alex, Live the Web Grill Pork Chop. We can't do any of that if we don't leave, so let's say goodbye.
Bye. Bye.